Luke. Luke.
Ben?
You will listen to the Wampa's Lair podcast.
Podcast?
There you will hear your hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, as they discuss all things Star Wars. So join the conversation and hang out. Oh, and watch out for Wampas.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 195, A Changing Saga. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, the Kylo Ren to my Count Dooku, we have Carl LeClaire.
You're right, I do have a little bit more of a temper than you, that is for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I like elegant lightsabers more than you do.
Yeah,
obviously, because yours is a mess.
Yeah, I like that. I like that my blade is flickering like an angry star. Jason, we're revisiting a similar topic to what we did a few episodes ago because I just can't stop talking about this. And we're bringing in a good friend of ours who is like, I've been told by Joe Hogan that this guy is the guru of all things EU EU. And I just never knew this about him, but he's been on before. He's a good friend of ours all the way from Norway. It's the Dash Rendar to my Han Solo. It's Jazz Kopacek Rathor.
How's it going, fellas? How's it going, Larians? Glad to be back.
So the Dash Rendar to your Han Solo, you're basically the same person then, right?
Yeah, I'm just like... I'm a little bit cooler. Sorry,
Jazz. Oh, okay.
So...
Not literally, though, because...
Yeah, because that's not true at all. Jazz is 10 times cooler than any Star Wars fan I've ever met.
He also lives in Norway.
Yeah. Dude, actually, Jazz, when I was down visiting Joe last week, we were talking about why you're everyone's favorite Star Wars fan.
Oh, I like hearing that.
Yeah, basically, like, you're just, like, the nicest dude. So, Larians, if you ever meet Jazz, like, at, you know, a celebration, he will be the nicest guy. Dude, you're basically the Poe Dameron of Star Wars fandom. You just make everybody feel great.
And as a matter of fact, my latest costume is Poe Dameron. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. And you were on like Star Wars' official like video for Celebration Europe.
That's right. Holy shit.
Yeah, you were on the closing video. Was I the first one to tell you about that? Or I know I was one of the first people.
You definitely were one of the first. That's true.
So I was watching and I was like, oh, that's cool. Let's go. That's Jazz. And I was like, so I was like, did you see this? So
cool because like I didn't tell anybody that Lucas, because they of course came up to us and we had to like sign like declarations afterwards. So I knew that they'd filmed it and they said why it was, but I didn't tell anybody. And so when they showed that at the closing ceremony, everyone was like, oh my god, Jazz, did you see that? Did you see that? You were on the screen. I'm like, yeah, I know.
You're like, it's not a big deal, guys. Chill out. I hope you plan on wearing Poe to Orlando in April.
I will see. I'm definitely bringing a costume.
Okay. That one was so cool, man. And you really are the Poe Dameron of the Star Wars fan community.
I love hearing that.
So,
if anybody does see me at Orlando or anywhere else, be prepared for bear hugs.
Yeah. The dude is just as friendly as they come. You're like Chewie meets Jar Jar.
Yeah,
you're the love child of Jar Jar and Chewbacca.
I don't really know how to. Let's just move on from that, please.
Speaking about which, I've just got to like mention this. Like in 2 weeks' time, we've got a small convention here in Stavanger in Norway, and each year we do a crazy little stunt to bring in money for a charity. And this year, we're basically going to do a live tattoo where if we get the equivalent of about 1,200 bucks, one of our guys is going to get a live tattoo of Jar Jar Binks.
Nice.
And seeing as I've wanted to get a Jar Jar Binks tattoo for a couple of years, now I'm just getting a free tattoo and I'm raising some money for charity. So
there you go.
That's awesome.
Score.
Nice. Well, Jazz, again, we brought you in to help us break down some more of kind of this new canon, kind of looking at it in light of the old canon, the old EU. And I know you've devoured pretty much all of Legends, and the majority of the new stuff as well.
Yeah.
So you're an awesome guy to have. And obviously we had Mark Herleman on a little while back to kind of discuss something similar. Mark is also an incredibly bright podcaster when it comes to all things EU. But we wanted a layman.
Beyond the Films is just an amazing podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, he and Nathan Butler are just, like, unbelievable.
Yeah, the amount of information those two retain is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, for myself, I mean, when it comes to Legends, I pretty much stopped reading. I never finished the New Jedi Order series. I did read all of Legacy of the Force, but I never read any of the final stuff, that final saga, which I can't remember the name of it. Do you remember that, Jez? The one that was after Fate of the Jedi?
I do know which ones you mean. I know exactly what they look like.
It's the...
I can't remember right now.
Or no, I think that's Fate of the Jedi. Legacy of the Force is the one before it. My bad.
Yeah, I think that's the way around.
Yeah, I read Legacy of the Force. Fate of the Jedi, I read none of, so I can't bring much to that. But again, we're just kind of looking at the episode. We're just going to look a little bit at kind of some of some of the major differences is what I kind of want to point out. And it's tough as a Star Wars fan not to have an opinion about those differences. But kind of the point is I kind of want to highlight those differences as best I can without having a judgment. But that's going to be hard to do because we're Star Wars fans. We always have an opinion.
Right, and we're not trying to make this a Legends versus canon situation. We're just wanting to talk about it as sort of a compare and contrast idea, more than, you know, we're not trying to, you know, make a, you know, draw a line in the sand and say you should be for this or that. You know, we're just looking at the differences, and, you know, We'll have opinions on those differences, and no doubt about it, because, you know, everyone has an opinion on something. But, you know, we're not trying to stoke the flames of conflict or anything within this very heated topic in some corners of the Star Wars fandom. So,
I think actually one of the main things is also, you know, when people ask me, you know, how much I liked, you know, Episode 7, where I would rank it, you know, with the other movies, is it's exactly the same with the new canon. Is we know so little about it now.
Yeah.
With Episode 7, I don't think I can actually say how much I like it until I've seen 8 and 9, and I see how those three movies fit as a trilogy. In the same way, I think new canon has only been, like, about, what, half a dozen books? Like, maybe 8? And compared to the 180 approximately of the old Legends, we don't really have very much to go on before, you know, to make a judgment whether we like it or not, whether it's good or not. It's like, it's so fresh.
Yeah, it's still in its infancy, so to speak.
Exactly. It's like early days. Who knows where this is going to go? It might go, like, you know, in an amazing direction that we can't foresee, or it might just churn out book after book after book, and, like, you know, more and more of the same tales.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's save some of the details, because we want to run through our recent matchup, Jason, real quick, which was Ahsoka Tano from The Clone Wars against Luke Skywalker from The Empire Strikes Back. Kind of a resounding response to this, Jason, but what say the Larians?
All right. Well, Jazz did respond to this online, but I'm going to not mention his so that he can mention it here on the show. But on Facebook, David Furr voted for Ahsoka. Ubaidullah Abdul-Malik, Ahsoka. Jeff Langrude, Ahsoka. Eliezer Rodriguez, Luke. Matt McCandless, Ahsoka. Jeffrey Beaumont says that if Ahsoka was shown in a live action form, Luke wins. If Luke was shown in animation form, Ahsoka wins. So I put a vote for each based on Jeffrey there. Thomas Davis gave it to Ahsoka. So did Greg Daniel and Brian Jessness. Brian Bailey gave it to Ahsoka. Surprised himself there. Joey Letson says that since She decapitated a group of Mandos in a single strike. Ahsoka wins. Ian Statsny gave it to Ahsoka. Adam J. Taylor called blasphemy and gave it to Luke. Jeffrey Fishbach said it was hard, but ultimately gave it to Ahsoka. Travis Fritsch, Ahsoka. And then on Twitter, at DamianCreese1 says Luke, because he's the descendant of the Chosen One. Dewey the Mailman, Ahsoka. King Og 9 Cubits painfully says that Luke would lose and gave it to Ahsoka. And at Reeves House, gave it to Luke Skywalker because the Force had a plan for Luke. He also wants to add that in his opinion, Ahsoka should have been killed outright by Vader in Rebels to give us some sense of finality. And that gives us a final Larian tally here. If I leave out Jazz's vote, 14 for Ahsoka and 6 for Luke. What say you guys?
Go ahead, Jazz.
Well, it probably doesn't come as any surprise to anybody who knows me that I'll give this to Ahsoka. I've got a soft spot for that little Togruta. But I mean, the main reason I think is she is so highly trained by Anakin, by the Chosen One, that she is super, super duper strong in the Force, and she's a great fighter. Whereas Luke in Empire Strikes Back is still in his Force infancy, he's still trying to figure out who he is, where he's going, how he's going to use his connection to the Force. So I don't think, if it were Return of Jedi, then I think it'd be a lot closer, but Episode 5 Luke is going to lose to Ahsoka.
All right, Vaz, you convinced me. I wanted to give it to Luke, but that was mainly just because I love Luke. I wish I had done the matchup against Return of the Jedi Luke, although I feel like Return of the Jedi Luke would cleaner clock. So I thought this might make it a little easier. I'll give it to Ahsoka as well, because I think you're right. You know, she's fighting in the midst of the Clone Wars, and that's when she's being trained, so she does have a lot more combat training and experience. Where, you know, that's the thing. When we see Luke show up, you know, at Cloud City, he's still carrying his blaster. That's his weapon of choice still, until his hand is kind of forced against Vader. And while he kind of holds his own initially, Vader was really just baiting him. And, yeah, he's got a lot to learn still. So, yeah, I think Ahsoka comes away with that one as well.
Well, I'm going to make it unanimous here on the podcast. I'm going to give it to Ahsoka for many of the same reasons you guys said. I will just say Luke makes a huge jump from Empire to Jedi. So if we had this versus Return of the Jedi Luke and Clone Wars Ahsoka, I think the tables would have been turned equally the other direction. So in favor of Luke rather than what we've got here, because of the huge jump Luke makes between 5 and 6. That being said, for many of the same reasons we've all said, he's still sort of in his infancy with the Force. He's still learning to trust it to the extent that Ahsoka sort of just naturally uses it. And so for that and just combat experience, I'm going to give it to Ahsoka. That gives us a final tally of 17 for Ahsoka and 6 for Luke Skywalker.
I'm glad Luke got some votes. I hate when we do matchups where it's unanimous.
Yeah.
Vader versus Wicket.
I mean, Wicket's going to clean Vader's clock on that one, yeah. So I think everybody knows that. Just kidding.
What I was thinking, though, because you make a great point there, Jason, about how drastically of a jump Luke takes between Empire and Jedi. Mm-hmm. And Jazz, obviously, you and I are both huge Shadows of the Empire fans. And I love that book. To me, it's still canon. I don't care. we're going to be doing a 20th anniversary episode for that in a few months, because the 20th anniversary is in December of this year, which is crazy.
Carl has just decided that, folks. I have not been told this.
Oh, so. Yeah. Sorry, Jason. I've already got a couple guests lined up, too, that have asked to be on it. So it's going to be a hoot. But anyway, I really want some more novels, comics, something between Empire and Jedi, regardless, from our new canon. I don't care if they completely wipe out Shadows. That's fine. I mean, I love Shadows. It's always going to be, you know, one of my favorite Star Wars stories, regardless of whether it officially remains canon or not. But I think it'd be really good to give us a little bit more fleshed out stories about how Luke develops. Because in Shadows, correct me if I'm wrong, Jazz, we don't really get a lot of that. I mean, we see him being formidable, right? Yeah. Like, we see him taking on a swoop gang. We see him, you know, fighting through the underworld of Coruscant. You know, like, we see him doing cool stuff, but we don't really get how he still got there. So, again, like, you, I mean, technically speaking, yes, Shadows is now just Legends. It doesn't count. But you could still not necessarily undo that story by telling us something more. And this is something, like, we're going to get to shortly, but I think one of the hugest strengths of the new canon is how well-written most of these stories have been. So I'd love to except for Heir to the Jedi, which was, in my opinion, sucked. I couldn't even finish it, which is the first-person story through Luke's perspective. I was so looking... That was the one I was most looking forward to and extremely disappointed by.
There was nothing in that book that was, like, noteworthy. I cannot remember any details of the book apart from the fact that it was written in the first person.
Yeah, it's like a crappy version of I, Jedi.
Yeah.
Which was phenomenal, by the way. You know? Yeah, you know, that's... I would love to get... I'd love to get Claudia Gray to write that story, too, because I think she's a phenomenal author. Okay, screw it. I'm jumping right into it right now, guys.
We're done with the matchup. We're gonna have Jazz introduce a new matchup at the end of the show, folks. We're just gonna jump right into the topic here. So you know, screw transitions.
Right. and I want to get your guys' take on this, obviously, but I really feel that I feel like the characters are being written very well in a lot of the new canon. And I'm going to specifically highlight Chuck Wendig, who's writing the Aftermath saga right now, and Claudia Gray. You know, I read Bloodline, I read Lost Stars. Both of those authors are really good at making us care about the characters we're reading about. And I felt like something like in a lot of the early Legends, because when it comes to talking about Legends, I'm best at talking about the stuff that essentially came out early and ran up through the start of the New Jedi Order series, because after that, my knowledge is much more depleted. But I feel like the original Legends, they kind of just went with the idea of, like, you know who these characters are. We don't really need to tell you more about them. We don't have to strongly develop them, because the movies did that. I feel like these novels are really not only developing some of our main characters, but they're really developing the new characters that we're meeting. And I think that's a huge strength of this new canon. What do you guys think about that?
I'll let you start, Jazz.
I totally agree. I mean, you've got a lot of new characters that are being introduced, like you mentioned, Bloodline. I really enjoy the character of Ransom Casterfo.
Yes.
Yep.
His name? Yeah, okay. Ransom Casterfo. The senator that joins Leia on the missions, I thought he was brilliant. I loved the way that he wasn't just another senator, but they actually delved into his personality, what made him tick, you know, his fascination with the Empire and things like that, you know. Yet at the same time, it seems to me that quite a lot of these characters are just castaway characters. In the old Legends, I felt like, you know, you mentioned I, Jedi, so you got Karan Horn. Karan Horn shows up again and again and again in the Legends. Whereas I feel most of the people that have been brought up or are being brought up in the new canon are just being cast aside. Ransom Casterfo at the end of the book goes off to be executed. Ari, who we see in the book, we know gets killed when Hosnian Prime gets blown up, etc. Like, you know, I don't feel that we're actually meeting any characters that we're going to care about in the long run. They're all throwaway characters.
I'm a little less versed in the new canon than you guys are. I just haven't had the chance to read as much of this as you guys have. I own most of the books. I just they're sitting on my shelf waiting for me to finish other books so I can get to them. But I do think, Carl, you're onto something, though, that these books are taking a bit more of a different tack with the stories so far. And I think part of it is because the new movies are still being written and made, and so they can't really do a lot of these big let's tell a story of such and such conflict or how, you know, this went down, that sort of thing. And so they're going into the, more of these character pieces until things are more fully solidified with the films. And then they'll start giving us, you know, things that are more concrete, you know, with specific conflicts like we got with the Thrawn trilogy or even the New Jedi Order, you know, as long as that was. But that sort of thing. And I think maybe that's part of the reason is because there's still so much that's up in the air and still being finalized with the films and everything. That the books and the comics are still trying to figure out that balance between giving us new stuff, new characters, new conflicts, and also not giving away anything before it's too early, you know, for the upcoming films. And so I think they're trying to tread that ground. And I think once more of the films start coming out, we'll get a lot more concrete stories coming out of the new canon. But because they can't do some of that stuff yet, I think that's one reason why we're getting a lot of these more character pieces with the new canon. I'm going to highlight Bloodline in particular because that's the most recent book that I've read. And we got a lot of stuff with Leia and getting into Leia's head. And she's not necessarily been a character that I've gravitated towards in the past, either with the films or with the Legends continuity. And I was a little disappointed that they weren't going the Jedi route with her in the new canon. So when we got this book, and I heard it was great, and it was looking like it was going to be great, I actually came away with a better appreciation of Leia and who she was, and I'm actually much more interested to see, you know, some of her stuff going forward, or maybe, you know, some of the history with her coming out of that than I was beforehand. So, yeah, I think the strength of the new canon has been the character development of some of these things, but not.
I totally agree with you, Jason. I mean, that's like one of the things that I was thinking about earlier today. That once episodes 8 and 9 have actually come out, we see how that trilogy is going to develop. Then we'll get more detailed stories. I mean, I was quite shocked, like about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, when I found out that they actually, when they made episode 7, they had no idea what was going to happen in 8 and 9. They just said, okay, we'll make 7, and then we'll worry about that later. Did you guys hear about this?
No.
That's news to me. I didn't realize that.
I can't remember. I'll try to find a source for it, but I read it somewhere like about 2 weeks ago, and I was like, holy crap, they didn't know anything? And basically it was like, JJ made this and basically handed it off and say, okay, you guys figure it out from here. And that's why they've been doing all these reruns and stuff like that.
Wow.
I wonder if it's maybe J.C. Reifenberg who was telling me about that while I was visiting. I'm just trying to dig up in the recess of my memory where I heard that.
That's interesting.
Huh. Yeah.
But either way, whether they had got a story for it or not, as soon as we do have of course they're not going to tell us what that is, and they're not going to let any hints slip in the new canon books. But as soon as 8 and 9 have come out, then they can go into detail, start telling some stories. They're not going to release a novel or a comic book about the Knights of Ren until the Knights of Ren have actually been explained on the big screen. They're not going to release a book about the background of Snoke until that's been explained.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, so there's a character in Life Debt. I'm not going to say like who or any details because I know neither of you have read this yet.
Yeah, I've read that. So,
but some folks are like, "Oh, this is Snoke," and I heard somebody say that to me. A friend of mine, I got to give a shout out to my friend Greg because he loves Star Wars books. So like he's buying everything new and he just lets me borrow them, which is great. So I get to save all the money. I just get to read them.
nice.
And you know, I read them when Greg's done. And when he gave me Life Debt, he's like, "Yeah, you know, some people are speculating this particular character could be Snoke. Let me know what you think. I think it's kind of weird." He's like, I could see it. So, you know, I've finished the book now and I really don't think it's Snoke for a lot of reasons. And also, I just don't think they're going to give you something like that right now. You know what I mean? Because, like, some of the hints are kind of heavy-handed. It's like, no way, they're not going to make a big reveal like this in a novel. You know?
Not something so integral to the trilogy that's being created right now. So, yeah.
Right.
Once it's, you know, been revealed, you know, more of the history has been revealed in the films, then we'll get background in the books, but not yet.
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to bring up that I noticed was kind of a pretty big difference between Legends and the new canon was kind of the view of the galaxy's view of the big three of our Star Wars heroes, right? So in Legends, they're all seen as heroes, like Han, Leia, Chewie, Luke. They're the heroes of the rebellion. Everything kind of fell dependent upon their actions. Whereas I feel in the new canon, that's not as much the case. Like they're still all like they're household names. I mean, we even get that in Episode 7, right? Like from, you know, when Han Solo, the rebellion general, no, the smuggler, you know. So like Luke Skywalker, I thought he was a myth. You know, like these are obviously like kind of household names. But even in like, so again, looking at the new canon, which is specifically like the books right, you know, after, in a sense, Return of the Jedi, the galaxy doesn't seem to know nearly as much as they used to. And I'm wondering if, you know, like, so it's almost as if the legends in the legends stories, the galaxy watched the original trilogy. So they experienced the same thing we did, right? Like they know who our folk heroes are. Where I feel that the new canon, it's a little bit more, I hesitate to use the word wary, but it's as close as I can get to what I want to say is there's almost like a wariness, you know, like, oh, supposedly Luke killed the Emperor and Vader, but people aren't exactly sure. And it doesn't sound like Luke's out there broadcasting it. I mean, it's also not his style, but I don't know. What do you guys think about that? What do you think about this kind of just the way that the galaxy at large is looking at our characters?
Well, I really like the fact in Bloodline that you really got the impression that Luke had gone into hiding.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, you know, like in Episode 7, he's not there at all. In Bloodline, he's only mentioned in passing. You know, that him and Ben are off somewhere training. And I really, really like that. I thought that was pretty cool that it stays true to the movie, true to Episode 7. But yeah, I guess there is a bit more of the awareness. Did any of this really happen? You know, though both Coruscella and what's her name, Greer, like the A, they both look up to Leia, and they obviously know that she kicked some serious ass during the rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the whole Senate, that's the whole reason that Leia knew that she could be voted in by both the populists and the, what do they call, the centrists?
Yeah.
Because both of them, you know, respected her for her role during the rebellion against the Empire.
Yeah, I think of the three, Leia seems to be treated the same, you know, closer to the same around, you know, across both Legends and the new canon. She's also a much more public figure than either Luke or Han. You know, Han's, you know, got a little bit more mystique because he's, you know, the husband of Leia, and he's, you know, doing his own thing half the time anyways. And so it appears he stayed with the military for less time in the new canon than he did in Legends, which is probably the cause for some of that. But Luke is much more of a folk figure than an actual hero now with the new canon than the than Legends, because Luke was very, very active in Legends, starting the new Jedi Order and being at the forefront of some of these conflicts, trying to represent the Jedi and the New Republic at the same time. He'd be a main line of contact, often, one of Leia's, chief chief go-to people in that sort of regard. But in the new canon, it's really unclear as to when Luke sort of left the public view at this point. And I'm guessing it's, we're getting the idea as the Battle of Jakku takes place relatively close to Return of the Jedi. And from what I'm gathering is it appears that Luke sort of vanishes from the public eye shortly after that. I haven't read some of the other material to confirm that idea, but it appears that he sort of disappears from the public perception sometime after the Battle of Jakku and has become more of a folk hero.
Well, I can say this.
I've interpreted it as, you've got the Battle of Jakku, then Luke goes off to train Jedi, but he hasn't actually gone into hiding.
Yeah. And
goes into hiding later on.
Yeah. Well, actually, based on where we are right now, from what I've read, I don't think Luke's going to actually be at the Battle of Jakku. He's already gone. In the Aftermath saga so far, they've already hinted that he's already, they don't really know exactly what he's doing. Leia is the one who's usually thinking about him, but even she isn't really clear what he's up to. So the last time we saw Luke in any of this new canon was in the Shattered Empire comic series, which mm-hmm. we essentially see him kind of lead a raid. So he's mm-hmm. obviously helping to mop up things on Endor, but then it almost seems like he just goes. The final book in the Aftermath trilogy is going to be pretty much all about the Battle of Jakku, and maybe Luke will show up for that. Maybe he's going to show up and participate in that. But where it is right now, and by the way, I should have said this a while ago, there are going to be some minor spoilers. I'm not going to try to spoil too much, mainly because my own two friends here haven't even read these. I don't want to screw you guys over, but I don't think it's giving too much away to say that Luke's not in there. Because he's not.
I didn't assume he would be.
Yeah, so, and Jakku hasn't happened yet. So there's a pretty good chance that Luke's not even going to be at the Battle of Jakku. So it's just, again, that's a huge difference, in his character. Because
not at the center of things.
Right, yeah. And I liked that. Luke is he's kind of our folk hero. He's our mythological hero. I always remember it was one of my favorite scenes in the Jedi Academy trilogy by Kevin J. Anderson. Jazz, I knew you've read that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Jason, did you read it?
I think I've read a couple of books from that, but I don't think I've read.
There's only three.
All of them. Okay. I think I may have read one or two of them. I don't know if I read all of them.
Okay. Well,
I know the sort of the gist of what happens.
Okay. I mean, it's been a long.
I don't remember if that's because I read it or I read source books. So
yeah, well, I mean, it's been a little while since I've read them in their entirety, so I don't remember all the minute details. But I always remember this scene because I loved it, where Luke goes before the Senate, and basically he's propositioning them to help, in a way, kind of give him he wants their blessing and I think even a little bit of their resources to help him start finally his Jedi Academy. This is after the Thrawn trilogy. It's a few years after that. And it's just this really cool scene. Luke has resigned himself from the military, but now he's asking the Senate's blessing. And he kind of gives this speech about how, in the old Republic, the Jedi were the keepers of peace, and I'd like to return us to that state where we have these peacekeepers once again. I'd like your blessing. I really liked that. Luke was very much in the forefront, and they're pretty much all behind him. There's always some naysayers, but overall, everybody's yeah, it's Luke, of course. Whereas in this this new canon, he's just a very mysterious character. And I'm fairly certain that a lot of that has to do with simply, you know, we don't know what he's been up to, and they kind of want to maintain that mystery for the films to reveal. So I get that, but I don't know. Like, there's no reason he can't be involved with what's going on right now, like a few months after Endor. Like, why does he have to be gone already? You know, like, I just, it just kind of sucks. Like, and I don't like how he is. Like, the galaxy is just kind of wary of who he is. Like, to me, it takes away some of the importance of his character. Luke is our hero of this saga.
I'm getting mixed up with Bloodline. Sorry. Carry on.
No, my point was kind of done. So
Bloodline isn't just a few months after, but
No, it's not. But the Aftermath trilogy is a few months after.
Yes. I was just getting a bit confused there.
Yeah, and Luke's already gone. So
yeah,
I don't know. I just, again, said we're gonna try to be judgment free. That's not gonna happen. And I'm not saying like it's a bad decision. I'm sure they're gonna have their reasons, but it just bums me out because I feel like Luke is kind of he's the Star Wars hero more so than Anakin or any other character in Star Wars. To me, it's always Luke is the fundamental hero of this story.
That kind of like ties into two things I've been thinking about with the new canon. One positive and one negative. I mean, on the positive side, the new canon books are really building up the galaxy. They're showing us where the First Order came from, how they arose. They show the state of the galaxy, you know, between episode 6 and 7, how the Resistance was created, how the Resistance was born, really, with Leia and stuff like that. And I think that has been done really, really good. Like, the whole political situation and development is described beautifully. However, at the same time, there's such a focus on that, and with Luke being gone, there's absolutely no Jedi or Force users or lightsabers or anything like that in the movies, not in the books. And I kind of feel I miss that. I understand why you can't have it, but at the same time, I really do miss it.
Yeah. And
a lot of that is made because the new canon is so heavily focused on the period between episode 6 and 7, at least the novels are, that you don't have anybody who can wield a lightsaber. You know, at least with the comic books, you've got the Obi-Wan and Anakin comic books where you're going back to the Clone Wars and stuff like that. And I'm wondering, maybe they should start looking at, instead of just populating that one period in galactic history, looking at, you know, stuff that came a long time before, whether it's Clone Wars or during the Galactic Civil War, or even going back to, for example, Darth Bane and whatever.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we're going to get some of that with the Ahsoka novel that's supposed to come out. What, doesn't that come out October?
I think. Yeah. So actually, I get to wait for that. I get to start reading it Friday. I'm very excited. So my friend Greg, his wife works for a bookstore, so they got an early release. So he's already read it. He said it was pretty good. So he's going to bring it over this weekend so I can start it.
You lucky dog.
I know. Well, I know a few folks have already had it.
So looking forward to reading them.
Yeah. He told me that the first two-thirds are okay, and the last third was amazing.
Okay. So,
but it's cool that, like, because I think this has already been told to us. There's, it takes place kind of before her involvement with the Rebels, but there's a lot of flashback scenes to her remembering the Mandalore arc that was cut. Remember that Dave Filoni talked about it in Celebration Europe. So there's going to be flashbacks to that stuff, which I'm pumped to read.
That was like the best panel at all of Celebration. Oh, it was so good.
That's right. You were there.
Yeah.
That was nice.
There were tears.
Back to, you know, the point about Luke and everything, though. And I think part of the reason why they're, you know, Luke is obviously part of the reason why Luke is not a focus of any of these books yet is because there's something, you know, we're going to learn a lot of what Luke has been up to since Return of the Jedi in Episode 8. You know, Rey is going to have questions and Luke's going to start telling us some of the answers. And so we can't have a lot of that stuff, you know, come out beforehand. Well, we could, but they want to save it, and I can understand that, like everyone was saying. And so I think we'll find Luke to be a little bit more involved when we get some of that history out there. But right now he doesn't seem to be that involved, and it, the jury's still out as to whether or not that's good or bad, you know, because, and I want to, you know, reiterate this point, we're still very early in the new canon. You know, this is, the new canon is coming up on, what, 2 years old at this point? You know, around this point now, I think. So, you know, we're still very, very early, and Legends, it's kind of unfair to compare Legends to the new canon in some aspects because of just the wealth of just content, because of how long it was being expanded and grown and written in and dealt with. And so, you know, we're still very early, and I feel like Luke will be a little bit more involved once we get some of his backstory from episode 8. But, you know, he's definitely not going to be as public a figure as Leia in any way, shape, or form between episodes 6 and 7 that he was back in the Legends. And whether that's good or bad remains to be seen, because we don't know what he's been up to. And so we have yet to see what sort of adventures he went on during that time period. So,
well, see in Legends that he, as time drew on, he withdrew more and more from the public realm of things, and, you know, decided that, you know, the Jedi should be separated from the state. So, you know, maybe they're just taking that step straight away.
Yeah, which, you know, which could be indicative of maybe Luke, again, which, Jason, you kind of said, you know, we're going to get more of this in 8, I'm sure, but maybe Luke learned stuff, you know, shortly after, where he realizes that one of the pitfalls of the Jedi in the Old Republic was its strong ties to the Senate. So rather than, you know, maybe he's just got new ways of trying to do things. So that could definitely be part of it.
And there's just so much that has to be set up with what we get in episode 8 with Luke Skywalker, that there's not a lot that they can do with him yet in the new canon. And that's, unfortunately, that's just the way that they're playing this game at this point. And so we're going to get a lot more information about Leia, a lot more information about the beginning of the Resistance and the beginning of the First Order, and the wrap-up, you know, exiting Return of the Jedi with the Battle of Jakku. Because that's, of all of the events that we could be getting, that seems to be the one that's being referenced the most in some of these different books. We've got a little bit, apparently, from Lost Stars of the Battle of Jakku in that book. The Aftermath series is ramping up to the Battle of Jakku. So that seems to be the kind of the big event that the new canon is ramping up towards at this point. You know, the first quote-unquote major event that we're getting in the new canon. So, you know, we'll see how that all turns out. But just with the way that they're doing this, the storytelling and the way that everything is lining up with the movies being made at the same time as the books, you know, we're not going to get a lot of stuff with Luke until after we hear from the horse's mouth what he's been doing. So,
I mean, which makes me think maybe we should wait a bit and, like, not have so many books right now about that period of time, but rather to say, here's a couple of books, but now we're going to revisit other periods in the galactic history, and then we'll come back to that one. We can actually tell you the whole story instead of have lots of books where you tell half of the story.
Yeah. And like I said, we're getting Ahsoka, so that's going to take place, you know, post Revenge of the Sith.
That's going to be so cool.
So that'll be cool. And then we're getting Thrawn. Which,
when looks, is Thrawn going to be set, though?
That's going to be set before Rebels,
right,
before his appearance in Rebels.
Exactly.
So that's going to be, you know, also around that same time period as Ahsoka. So yeah, that'll be interesting. You know, I think they're doing some of that with what's coming up next. But, you know, we haven't gotten them yet.
Right. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's that's a really good point, Jazz. You know, to well, like, and like a lot of the comic series has been, you know, kind of entrenched in the period between 4 and 5.
I know, and it's getting so crammed there. You know, so start looking at other periods.
Yeah,
this is Trump stuff every, and that is like one of my greatest complaints about the old legends was. There were so many stories about the big three. Instead of, like, you know, investigating or telling stories about other people set in the, you know, Star Wars galaxy, all the stories had to be about Han, Luke, and Leia. And after a while, it was so crammed up there that they didn't have, you know, time to have... I mean, I felt sorry for them because there's always a war or a conflict or a crisis or their kids were being kidnapped or there was a moon dropping on them or, you know, whatever. They never had a moment of peace.
Yeah, and Nathan Butler's often joked about the legends between, you know, A New Hope and Return of the Jedi being so crammed full of stuff that the big three didn't have time to go to the bathroom, and we're almost getting to that point. But at least between episodes 4 and 5, with a lot of the comics stuff,
right?
So, you know, it's interesting. So we're almost getting back to that.
And I thought that was like that one of the main reasons that they got rid of the old legends was to start with a new, you know, clean slate, and here we're going to start over again. And already we're, 2 years in, and it's that one period is getting so full up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it remains to be seen as to, you know, how that's all going to work out. Carl, did you have any other points you wanted to bring up?
I mean, we've kind of hit on quite a few of these points. One thing that has really stood out to me, specifically with the two Aftermath books and even Bloodline, and Lost Stars even, is there's a little bit more of a bent towards realism than I remember from Legends. What I mean by that is there's a lot of talk about like the psychological scars of, you know, like the combatants and the, you know, the even like the veteran like hospitals set up for the New Republic soldiers who are, you know, wounded in the Galactic Civil War. To me, that's just I don't necessarily have a judgment of it, but it's just interesting. I don't remember that being in Legends, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. But there was. I feel like, again, this is a gross generalization, but Legends, and I almost like that they gave it that title because there was something legendary about it. You know, there was just something kind of fantastical about a lot of those tales and about our characters. There seems to be a little bit more of a dedication to realism in the newer stories.
I wonder if that is like partly a bit of like, you know, a maturing of literature, because like if you look at the Star Wars literature from the late 70s, early 80s, and then compare that to the literature of the 90s, like, you know, when Timothy Zahn started writing, and then later, it each generation of literature in a way matures and becomes slightly better. I mean, like, have you ever read like the Lando Calrissian adventures and the adventures of the young Han Solo?
Yeah, I did the Han Solo ones.
They are very, very dated and almost slightly childish. But they're also, like, you know, kind of quaint and funny because they're, like, you know, throwback to 70s sci-fi literature. But, like, if you take that and compare it to Tim Zahn, who has gone a lot further, and then you take the stuff of, like, the New Jedi Order has matured even further. And then, like, I completely agree that, like, the contemporary literature that we're reading now is a lot more realistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, you know, and I haven't read as much of it as you guys have, but, and to some extent I appreciate that, but I'm also a little bit wary of it too, because so much of what makes Star Wars Star Wars to me is the mythological aspect. And I know, Carl, you and I have talked about that as far as the films are concerned, but I think some of the – if the books and the comics continue the way they're going without any adjustment, I feel like we're going to lose some of the mythological side of Star Wars in the not film portions of the universe. You know, when we go to the books or the comics or even some of the video games or whatever, we're going to lose some of that mythological gravitas, if you will. They seem a bit more gritty, which sometimes I like. And the way, you know, and I did like the, you know, political thriller that we got with Bloodline, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to have that style become the quote unquote norm and completely forget about the sort of fantasy and mythological side of Star Wars too, because that's as ingrained in the films as the lived in universe is. It's sort of a, you know, even portion of the films are an even portion of reality and fantasy. And I feel like the new canon is definitely heavier on the reality side than the fantasy side. And I think part of that is because of the lack of Jedi we've seen, to be perfectly honest. And until we get more information from Luke as to what he's been doing, I think it's going to stay that way.
The one word they used there, Jason, the gritty, made me think of, did you guys read Battlefront Twilight Company?
No.
Not yet. I have it, but not yet.
It's really good, but it's totally, totally gritty. And, like, you know, when they've been talking about how Rogue One is going to be a gritty war movie, I kind of, you know, envision it kind of like Battlefront Twilight Company. Really well written, but once again, it's a great book. It's a Star Wars book, but it doesn't have the mythology that you're talking about. And just like you're saying, there are no Jedi, there are no Force users. You don't get the mythology. Every single book that we've had in the new canon has been about, bar the, oh, what's it called? Carol, the one that you hate? The I Jedi.
Oh,
Heir to the Jedi?
Heir to the Jedi, exactly. That's the only one that's actually had a Force user in it.
We've had Dark Disciple and Lords of the Sith.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Okay, I stand corrected.
Sorry, I'm just looking at my bookshelf and I'm seeing them staring at me right now. So
I was just thinking of New Dawn because you've got Kanan there, but he doesn't actually use his Force powers. He tries to keep them, you know, under wraps.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm missing the Force, basically. I don't feel the Force in the new books.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's definitely a huge missing element. You know, even with Leia's character, Leia is increasingly wary about her own potential to use the Force. You know, so she brings up, like, in Aftermath, this isn't giving anything away, but in Aftermath, she'll, like, bring up on occasion, you know, like, oh, you know, I have to remember what Luke said about centering myself, or, oh, you know, Luke says to try this. I just find it weird that Leia isn't more dedicated to it. Now, like, you don't, obviously in Legends, she goes on and becomes a full-blown Jedi Master. You know, so if you looked at the Legends timeline, you know, compared to where she is in Force Awakens, you know, 30 years after Return of the Jedi in Legends, she's a Jedi Master basically in her own right. And yeah. Force Awakens, she's nothing, you know? So, you know, that's just, again, just interesting choices they're making with some of the main characters. One thing, and this is a minor spoiler, even both of you, sorry, but I want to bring it up. You find it out about this very early in Life Debt, so it's not giving much away. It's part of the premise of the novel itself. The novel begins with Han going missing. Han and Chewie go missing. So Leia sends basically, like, you know, like, so the main characters of Aftermath, they're kind of our, you know, they're our kind of our heroes that we're going to follow through this saga, whereas, you know, when we see Leia or Han or whatever, they're always background characters. But Leia sends them to go get Han. And when I first got to that, and I was, and again, it's very early in the novel, I said to my friend Greg, I'm like, this is ridiculous. No way that happens. Look at Return of the Jedi. Han is like imprisoned in carbonite at Jabba's, and Leia and Luke give up everything to go find him. Like, I didn't buy that Leia sends a team to go find her, to go find him. Like, that's just, I really didn't like that. Now, later on in the book, it does make some sense, and like they do a good job of kind of bringing things back together. But even just that initial, like, oh, Leia's going to send somebody to go find him, it's like, no, that's, I don't know that that's being very true to their characters. And again, it's like shortly after Return of the Jedi too, so it's not like, okay, this is 30 years out, maybe they've changed, right? Like Han and Leia are estranged. Of course she's not out looking for him. But this is like right in the heat of things still, and she sends other people to do it. And Luke's nowhere to be found. Like, he's not even part of the picture. I don't like that. I don't like that they're breaking up that dynamic. The end of Return of the Jedi, what makes that ending so beautiful is that this is a family now. You know, Han, Luke, Leia, Chewie, Lando, they're a family. But in our new canon, they all still care for each other, but they're not around each other. And I don't know that I buy that. Maybe it's just because I don't like it. So I don't know. What do you guys think of that?
It makes the distance between Luke and Han, you know, the fact that Luke never sees Han before he dies, it makes it even sadder, basically, because it almost makes it seem as if they've drifted apart.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it. They really were a family, you know, in Return of the Jedi, and they had that great scene in the middle of the movie when everyone comes back together and, you know, they're getting ready to go take on the Empire in one last-ditch effort, and they were all going to do it together, that sort of thing. And then they do. But even Luke has his own path in that. So, maybe Luke leaving and going on his own path after Return of the Jedi makes a little bit more sense. But Leia, especially with the way that it appears we leave things off between Han and Leia at the end of Return of the Jedi, I figure, you know, they're probably gearing up towards the idea of marriage at this point, so it does seem a little odd that she would send a team rather than assemble a team and go with them.
Right.
In Legends, I mean, they are very much the family. I mean, you know, there's always references to Uncle Luke, like how Jane and Jason are talking about Uncle Luke, not just some guy who's on a distant planet and nobody knows exactly where and what he's doing. I don't know if I like the fact that Luke is all on his own.
Yeah, right. Especially this early.
That's like you're saying, Carl, is like, you know, it's more like what I like and don't like about it.
Yeah. You know, and again, I don't know that that's being true to Luke's character. You know, a lot of people with Force Awakens when it came out, and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, Luke did always kind of have this dark, there was always kind of a little bit of a darkness to him. I can see why he's off doing this on his own. Maybe it's because I was young when I watched it. I never saw that. Return of the Jedi, I know kind of the point of putting Luke in black is to make you think, oh, he might go to the dark side. Never believed it, not for a second, that he was going to fall. You know, I don't buy that. And I also don't buy that he's a solitary character. Because, again, look at him in A New Hope. He hates that he's always alone. You know, he's seeking connection. He's seeking a family and friends. And he has that at the end of Return of the Jedi. I don't see him just walking away. You know, not completely anyway. You know, he's it's very clear that Luke is going to have, he's going to have some, his work is cut out for him, right? Like Yoda's dying wish is that he pass on what he learns. You know, it's almost a burden he's putting on Luke, but it's, you know, it's a good burden. Like this is Luke's vocation, like to go train a new generation of Jedi. That's going to be a lot of work. And that is probably going to take him somewhere different than Han and Leia. But to be completely out of touch makes no sense. And again, we've all read Bloodline. Heads up, spoiler alert. But when there's like that huge, you know, attack on the Senate on Hosnian Prime and Leia could have been killed, you know, I never liked that Han. Well, like Han didn't know at first, but she talks him out of coming. That's not Han to me. Han would have come. And also, where the hell's Luke? He didn't feel that in the Force. Like, it's his sister. like, I don't like that. Like, it's making Luke seem like a crappy person, and that's not who Luke is. Luke is he's the Superman of Star Wars, right? Like, he's the good guy.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that attack on Hosnian Prime, who wrote the note?
Oh, who did write that note?
And never explain it.
It's yeah, just no, I think so they did.
I think no, they did, and I don't remember off the top of my head.
Do not explain it.
Oh my gosh, it's I don't remember, but they do explain it. Crap. They do explain who did.
I'm sure they don't.
But yeah, I don't know. Again, there's things. One thing I will say again, just to round things out, just I think we've done a good job of saying kind of what we miss from Legends. One thing that I think they're doing again very well with the new canon is just telling us really fun stories. I remember when I was reading Legacy of the Force, and again when I was reading the new Jedi Order series, the reason like I was not pleased overall with Legacy of the Force, the reason I stopped reading the new Jedi Order, was because it was just like a recycled story over and over again. And Jazz, you kind of insinuated this earlier, right? Like, the stories were just like our poor characters never had a second to breathe. You know, so it got very redundant. The stories got very repetitive. To me, a lot of the stories, especially Legacy of the Force, was a lot of like whodunit type stories. Like, oh, there's a problem. We have to solve this mystery. That's not Star Wars. Like, not really, anyway. You know, Attack of the Clones, kind of. But, you know, Star Wars is about, like, action and fun and adventure and mythology. And I felt like as the EU expanded, the Legends EU expanded, it really just became, like, these really, really, really recycled stories. I do think we're getting some, like, really fun original stories because we're getting some really cool, fun original characters. And I don't mind seeing our original characters right now in the background of those stories, because I know, like, until Episode 9 comes out, they're probably not going to star in too much in these novels. I'm okay with that. Because we're getting such really good characters. Like, I love this new team of this new family that we're getting in the Aftermath story. Like, they're phenomenal characters. And they fit in Star Wars so well. So I think that's, cool. To me, one of the biggest strengths of the new canon.
Well, I think this will actually transition well into the questions that I have to sort of wrap things up. And I've got four questions here. And these are from someone, you know, obviously I'm interested in reading the new canon. I want to read the new canon. I just haven't had the chance to. And I've read some of it, but not as much as you guys have. And so from someone like me or someone who is on the fence about reading some of the new canon or has maybe only read one or two, here's a couple of questions I came up with to sort of get the idea of if we should continue on down this path of getting involved with the new material. And you started to get into this, Carl, so I'm going to start with this question. And this may be a little bit early in the new canon's, you know, timeline to ask this because of how little we currently have. But, you know, are there some new characters that you find compelling in this new, for lack of a better term, expanded universe, that you want to see their stories continue, or you want to find out more about their backstories, that sort of thing? So are there some new characters, because we had some brilliant original characters that the Legends continuity gave us, like Thrawn or Corran Horn and people like that who we saw over and over and over and over again. Are there any people that you've seen so far in the new material that you want to sort of be that those type of characters?
Yeah, I think I don't necessarily. I don't want to say I definitely want their backstories because I think there's too much of an obsession with that. I'm looking at you, Han Solo movie. I don't necessarily want their backstories, but I'd like more stories with them. We can move forward. You don't have to go tell me where the hell they came from. I don't care. Character development doesn't require that. So anyway, sorry, I'm just really annoyed about the Han Solo movie. But, you know, I really like Jaz and Mary. I don't know if I'm saying their names right, but the new bounty hunter, the female bounty hunter character who's, oh my gosh, she's a Zabrak bounty hunter.
Yeah.
I think she's a phenomenal character. And I really want to know more about her, about how she's going to deal with these debts that she has. You know, she is a bounty hunter, but very different from most bounty hunters. She's no Boba Fett. She's not just doing this for the kills and the money. She's doing this for a greater purpose. I really, really like, and she's grown on me specifically in Life Debt, is Grand Admiral Sloan for the Empire. I think she's a really great character.
She's appeared in a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
She was in A New Dawn.
That's right. Yep. Yeah.
She was, you know, early in her officer career then.
Yeah. She's a really cool character. She's a new character at the start of a new canon, just like Thrawn was. I like her more than Thrawn, and I'm sure people are going to get pissed about that. But the reason I like her more than Thrawn is because Thrawn was like perfect. He was like a god. It made no sense that the rebellion beat him. You know, he was too good. I like Grand Admiral Sloan because she's good. She's ruthless. But she's also got a great story. And I think they're giving, you know, a lot of these characters, they're giving us a window into who they are without having to tell us a backstory.
Like with Jess Amari, do you reckon we're going to see her outside the Aftermath trilogy?
I hope so. I could see that.
I hope so, but I'm a bit worried that we won't, that she'll be a character they create for those three books and then we'll never see her again.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jazz. You know, maybe they're going...
I don't want to. It's just like I'm afraid that she won't.
Right. But that brings up a good point. I mean, it's hopeful to think, you know, that somebody like, you know, Grand Admiral Sloan is also somebody from New Dawn. That's really bridging some gaps there. But, I mean, look at the old legends. All of these characters are kind of brought into everything. You know, when we met a new character, their story was going to continue to be told. I don't know that they're going to – we just don't know right now if they're going to do that with this new canon. But I hope so. But, again, we don't know. I really like Bones. He's really cool. the battle droid that, you know – Temin Snap Wexley turns into like a death machine. That thing is really cool.
And the fact that Temin Snap Wexley is in the book, I love that. I love there's lots of tiny little Easter eggs here and there, just like, you know, scattered around the new books, which tie in to either The Force Awakens or the other movies. And I really do appreciate that. They've done a stellar job there. Really have.
Yeah. And... I won't monopolize this, but the last one I'd say I'm really enjoying is Singer. I don't ever know how to pronounce these things. That's how I pronounce it myself. Singer is the formal Imperial loyalist.
Right, yeah.
And I like that he's an openly gay guy in the Star Wars universe. We need this in Star Wars. We are a product of a real world. Star Wars is the most diverse galaxy. I know there's a lot of people that took issue that they were introducing homosexual characters into Star Wars. To that, I just say grow up. You know, if you're a Star Wars fan, we are in a very diverse world. If you take issue with that, there's more going on there than I can say right now. But I don't just like him because he's homosexual. I also think it's great that they're not focusing on that. They're not introducing it just to try to be PC. They're introducing it because it's a part of our reality. They want to make it part of that reality as well.
But they also show how fallible he is because he's, you know, he's a drunk. He's like belligerent, you know. I mean,
exactly.
But still, you still like his character.
Mm-hmm. You do.
I totally forgot about him until he mentioned him, but he's a great character.
I love his character, and I love that he is, again, he's somebody who's like kind of battling with his past. You know, it's very much implied, you know, what he used to do for the Empire. He was a bad man. And, you know, his own narrative is, I'm a bad person. But now he's caught up with this crew of good people who are doing good things, and he's really struggling to see, like, can I be a good person too? I like that soul searching he has going on.
I haven't read part two yet, so I'm looking forward to seeing how his relationship develops with Jas, because, you know, obviously they met each other or something on Endor, right?
Yeah. Yep. That's right. Yeah. Their story gets really great in Life Debt.
Awesome. Can't wait.
They're like, and again, I like that we're getting male-female relationships that aren't romantically based.
Absolutely.
And again, well, obviously he's gay, so of course it's not going to be romantic. But even beyond that, like I think that's what we're going to get with Rogue One, with Jin and, you know, Cassian. I don't think there's going to be that romantic connection there. A man and a woman can be friends, you know, in a movie and in a book. So I think that's really cool, too. What about you, though, Jazz? What are some of the characters you've been liking?
Bones, definitely. I love the character of Bones. I think he's just like a fascinating droid. So he's... I really liked... what was his name? The pilot from Bloodline is like Joff Seastriker.
Yeah,
yep.
Thought he was really interesting. I really liked him because he was like, you know, so green, but you know, he was so, you know, adamant that he wanted to impress everybody. He wanted to become part of this. He wanted to, like, you know, partake in the secret missions and stuff like that. I really liked his character and how he related to Greer Sunel. So they were some of the great ones. And then, of course, since you reminded me, thank you, Jason, about I love Asajj Ventress and what happened to her, like her relationship, you know, to... Oh, God, I'm completely...
Quinlan Vos?
Quinlan Vos, thank you, thank you. That was just... You know, that's one of the few books that actually brought me to tears. It was just beautifully written. The characters are beautifully developed. It was amazing.
Yeah, that was a very good book.
Yeah.
All right. I suppose I should continue on with my next questions. What is the most... And you can be, you know, vague, or you can give me a couple of examples of this if you want to. But what is the most impactful thing that the new canon has had on the saga as a whole? You know, like as far as it pertains to the films primarily, is there something? And to give an example, while you guys think of this, I had an idea, and I read the Anakin and Obi-Wan comic. Miniseries, which is very good, and the one thing that came out of that, and this is going to be a spoiler, so folks, if you don't want to be spoiled by this, fast forward about 20-30 seconds, is that at the end of it, Anakin is considering leaving the Order, you know, at a young age, probably, you know, 15 or so, and he's considering leaving. And at the end of that, you know, the last issue, we see a flashback to a conversation that Obi-Wan has with Yoda, that since Anakin's the chosen one, he still needs training, even if he leaves, and he's going to do that. And Yoda basically says, well, if he leaves, then in order to continue his training, he can't be trained by a Jedi. And Obi-Wan goes, I know. And so the implication is that Obi-Wan would have left the Jedi Order to continue training Anakin if Anakin had left. And that was something that I did not see coming, and it surprised me, and I loved it. So, you know, just that sort of idea. Is there something that's impacted, you know, the saga that you've seen that you think is really good in the new canon?
Well, thanks for... I completely forgot about... I loved that comic series, Jason. That was so good. And that was really cool, the way it ends, where you really see how Obi-Wan, his fate is Anakin's, you know? Which is funny, because then Anakin will say that to Palpatine on Invisible Hand.
Yep.
His fate will be the same as ours, you know?
Right.
Great point. Yeah, that's definitely a saga-impactful work. Jazz, can you think of anything?
You know, I think because of what we were talking about earlier, that, you know, they don't want to reveal very much about 8 and 9 and where things are going. I think they're playing things very, very carefully. They've got the cards really close to their chest and they don't want to, you know, say very much. So there's very little I find that is very impactful. I think the closest I can find is with Lady Cerise Syndian. if that's what she was called, how she reveals a little bit about how the First Order got started, how it, like, you know, first it got developed and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. there's, apart from that, there's nothing that pops to my mind, you know?
You know, there's one thing from Life Debt I'd love to say, but it's kind of a spoiler, so I'm not going to say it. Because I'm going to spoil the two of you and anyone else who hasn't read it. So maybe later on, after you guys have read that book, we can do something again. But I think the only other thing that was kind of impactful is in Bloodline, the fact that the galaxy learns all at once that she's the daughter of Vader. You know, because again, in Legends, that was kind of always known that Luke and Leia were siblings. Everybody knows Luke was the son of Vader. So that obviously implies that they didn't know Luke was the... Because they know Luke and Leia are siblings in Bloodline, but they clearly don't know that Vader is their father.
Right.
They know that Anakin was, but I guess the galaxy at large didn't know Anakin was Vader, which is true. I mean, we know that even after Revenge of the Sith. You know, I mean, that's kind of huge because it really changes then the galaxy's perspective probably of the Skywalker kids, you know, of Luke and Leia, you know. They're the son of the most monstrous man who's ever lived. So that's going to make them very wary of them. So I think that's kind of huge.
Very true. Cool. And this question is not as much for me because I already have thoughts on this, but more for people who are, you know, approaching the new canon without having read any of it yet. Is there, you know, a good substance to it? Or is it, you know, more just kind of filler? And obviously, in my opinion, I think we'll get more substance as more of the films come out because it's still very early on with the new canon. But, you know, you guys have read more than I have. So is there, you know, definite substance to this new canon, or is more of it just kind of a, you know, filler type stories?
I would say that a lot of it is mainly character based. They really do delve into the characters of, you know, some of the characters, some of which we do see again in the movies, some of them we don't. Whether or not the stories are impactful or not, or important or not, I don't think we'll actually find that out until scene 8 and 9. Personally, I don't see very much except for, you know, expounding on the political situation of the galaxy. That's the one thing that I do see coming out of the books that is really, you know, filling up the gap between 6 and 7. But from at this point in time, I don't see them as very impactful stories.
Yeah, I kind of go with that. I'd lean towards that as well. And I would say this, that, you know, if you're a Star Wars fan and you've never read any of the new canon, if you love Star Wars, I think you'll love these, because a lot of the books, like, they do hit on that feeling of Star Wars. Again, I'm specifically thinking of the Aftermath books and Bloodline and Lost Stars. Those have been my favorites. I felt like I was reading a really good Star Wars story. And what made it good was, you know, there are strong characters. It's very clearly in the Star Wars universe. So I think if you go at it like that, just wanting to read a fun story, you'll enjoy them. If you're looking for, like, that substance, or you want something to fill you in on what's going on, you're not going to get that, and I don't think we're going to. And I said this to my friend Greg after I finished the first Aftermath book, which, by the way, I essentially have read almost a year after it came out. I would not have liked that book if I read it when it came out, because I would have been disappointed that, you know, like, the big three are not the stars, that we're not getting any real substance. But now reading it, knowing kind of what it is, that's not the purpose of it, it's just a fun story, I really enjoyed it. It was just a really fun story. And it did actually make me think of some of the old Legends books that I loved that were just really fun stories. The biggest difference, I think, right now, though, with the new canon Legends is, in Legends, there was regularly a threat to the galaxy, right? Like Thrawn or Admiral Dalla or the Yuuzhan Vong. And our big three once again had to step up to the plate and you know, fight the good fight and defeat evil. We're not getting that right now, right? We're getting like small skirmishes. We're getting like, we know at the end of the day, the Empire is going to be defeated. Like, we know that's the route it's going ever since they won at Endor. So like, these stories don't have that weightful impact of like, yes, the big three had to step up and, you know, defeat Joris Seboff, the weirdest clone to have ever existed. You know, we're not getting stuff like that, but we're still getting fun stories. But I think, again, somebody like me and who's so steeped in Legends, I loved so many of those Legends books that you got used to the big three always stepping up to do that stuff. So I don't know. It's just weird not having it. If you know that's not what you're going to get right now, and you're cool with that, I think you'll really enjoy the stories. If that annoys you, I wouldn't recommend reading them.
Okay. Well, this that sort of dovetails into my final question here. Why should people give the new canon a chance? And I don't want to make this a Legends versus new canon thing. I just, you know, what about the new stuff is a reason for them to check it out?
I think a lot of the books are very, very, very well written. I think these novels that we're getting now are, you know, amongst the best written Star Wars novels I've ever read. There are these, the Darth Bane trilogy, maybe the Republic Commando books. They're like the ones that stand out as like exceptionally well written. But there's not one of the new canon books that has been poorly written from a, you know, literary point of view. Also, the stories are entertaining in their own rights. And whether or not they are, you know, filling in on all the gaps between episode 6 and 7, they don't need to. Down the line, like, you know, in a year or 2 years or 5 years or whatever, we'll get all of those answers. But right now, just go for the ride, you know, enjoy yourself. Play around the Star Wars galaxy. It's fun.
I'd say the same thing. You know, they're... These are some of the best written Star Wars books that I've ever read. And they are fun. Like, I have had a fun time. Well, again, reading specific ones. I wouldn't recommend Heir to the Jedi. I thought it sucked. And I also wouldn't recommend A New Dawn. I thought it kind of sucked. But I know a lot of people liked that. So I could be on my... I'm just not a John Jackson Miller fan. He's, to me, the weakest of the new authors. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, if you're just wondering like, oh, should I try these? I'd say yes, definitely try. You know, like so many of these are just like, they're really fun Star Wars stories. And I think you'll have fun. I think you'll have fun like having an adventure.
Awesome.
Talking about A New Dawn, though, I do like, you know, both with A New Dawn and the Kanan, you know, the Kanan comic book. I like the fact that, you know, they're expounding on a character from Rebels. I think that's pretty cool. That you're getting, you know, backstory. And though there were things that were really cool in A New Dawn. I like the whole how the planet Gorse is basically being the, you know, eaten from the inside. And then you got the guy that was basically trying to blow, you know, the whistleblower. I can't remember his name. Oh,
yeah, I know who you're talking about, though.
He was
kind of
really
crazy.
Cool. Exactly, yeah, the crazy dude. He was really cool. I loved his character. So, I mean, there was a lot of cool stuff in the book, you know, even if the book wasn't my favorite.
Cool. All right, well, I don't really have anything else. Anybody else have sort of...
Skelly.
That's his name. Yes.
Sorry. Well, I do actually have one last point, because, like, you know, a lot of people have said, like, oh, yeah, the new canon is canon, so everything that happened before is... It doesn't count anymore, right? You know, so there's no point in reading it because it's not official anymore and stuff like that. And I think that's actually just a load of horse shit. Because that stuff... Wait,
thanks for censoring yourself there, Jess.
I was about to say it, but oops. the legends can still be enjoyed. There, some of those stories are beautifully written. They've got amazing stories. They make me laugh. They make me cry. They make me, you know, giggle inside because of the Star Wars goodness inside them. You know, it's, and none of it is actually true anyway. They're fictitious novels in a fictitious universe about fictitious people. So whether or not it's on this scale or that level or this level or canon or EU or legends or whatever, it doesn't really matter. Just read the books. Enjoy them. There are so many books that are cool. And I will just add that just by chance, I'm wearing a t-shirt that says, "There is always a bit of truth in legends." So whether or not, you know, the Legends books are official or not, it doesn't really matter. There's nothing to say that, you know, what was written in the Darth Bane trilogy, for example, is or is not true. It hasn't been, you know, overwritten by anything else. Bane is, you know, canon because he's been mentioned and he's appeared in the Clone Wars. So the stuff that happened in the books could be true. Yeah. We don't know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, again, at the end of the day, the way I looked at what they did when they kind of said, you know, we're going to kind of wipe the slate clean, they're doing it. They were doing it because they were making new movies in the future. You can't inherit all of those stories that legends have given us and then try to write new movies around them. It's just,
what would you slot it in?
Yeah, it's just not possible. And that's okay to me. I've always been okay with that. And it's funny because one of the guys who was just on Tales of the Larians, Kyle, he and I met him and his girlfriend just last week for dinner, and like we had a great time. And he's never read any of the EU stuff, so he's like, yeah, I picked up the Thrawn trilogy because I've heard that's good, and Kenobi, you know, by John Jackson Miller. And he's like, is there anything else you'd recommend? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I was like, for starters, Kenobi starts slow, but it gets great. I was like, that's what John Jackson Miller does. He loves to bore the hell out of you, and then finally tells you a story. Again, my opinion. And I was like, Thrawn Trilogy is really cool. It'll be cool to see what you think now because you've seen Force Awakens. Like, you're pretty much just seeing the movies. I'm going to be really interested what you think of that book now. But I recommended, like, the Jedi Academy Trilogy. I was like, definitely read Shadows of the Empire. It's, like, the greatest book in Star Wars to me. You know, like, and that's exactly it, Jazz. You know, these legends, even if they're not canon anymore, who cares? Like, they're still great books. And I'm fine with that. So, yeah, there you go.
I'd also just want to throw out that the X-Wing novels are terrific as well. So
yeah,
yep. Some of them are hilarious.
Yes, if you want just a fun romp with a bunch of goofy heroes taking on the Empire, read the X-Wing books. You know.
And Aaron Olsen, his writing style is just, it makes me laugh every single time.
It's just very sad that we won't get any new Aaron Olsen books in this canon.
Oh, real quick, before I forget, I gotta tease this.
Uh-oh.
Aftermath Life Debt is the first time a Star Wars novel has ever made me tear up, ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's hard... Whenever I read books, it's very rare that I have that strong of an emotional response. I just don't to written word.
Dark Disciple?
Dark Disciple, I stopped reading because I got bored of it. I'm going to try it again. Yeah, I know how it ends, so I know what's coming, but I'll be interested to see if that has a response. But it's also going to depend on all I'm going to say is there's a moment, and it's like towards the end of Life Debt, that I was just like, it's a very simple, short moment, and it's beautiful. And I just like teared up, and I was like, oh my God, this, again, Chuck Wendig to me is probably one of the best authors we've ever had in the Star Wars universe. It's so freaking phenomenal. And I really want to tell you what it is, but I can't, damn you.
All right. Well, now I'm really going to have to read that stuff.
Yeah. I don't even want to say about
reading a whole bunch of stuff as well.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
No, we should wrap this up.
Yeah, we've been talking for a while.
Yeah, pretty done, I think.
Yeah, it's like, what time is it for you, Jazz? Like 4 in the morning?
It's 3:30, yeah.
Good Lord. Sorry, dude.
It's all good. It's all good. Talking Star Wars, dude.
Well, of course. And Jazz, you came up with our matchup for the end of this episode. We always like to give our guests the opportunity to come up with a matchup, and you came up with something. So why don't you give us the matchup and, you know, familiarize those who may not know who these characters are, what's going on. So,
right. So based on the topic of today, I figured to pit somebody from the old EU or Legends against the new canon. So I figured, Carl, your favorite book is?
Oh, it's Shadows of the Empire.
And in Shadows of the Empire, we have a character named Guri, who is a human replica droid, and who worked as an assassin and bodyguard for Prince Caesar, and she was pretty, pretty badass. So I'm going to pit her against Mr. Bones. Mr. Bones is kind of the bodyguard for Timon Wexley, Snap Wexley, and it was built from an old battle droid from the Republic era, or, you know, the old Republic.
Clone Wars.
Clone Wars, exactly. And components that he scavenged below the city on Akiva?
Yep.
I think what?
Yeah, Akiva.
Yep. And he was also pretty... He was a formidable foe. So I'd like to see what people think. Mr. Bones against Guri.
Love it. I love it.
I'm going to have to do some research on this one.
they're both really, really cool characters. I'm vacillating myself who I'm going to go for, so I'm going to have to think a bit more about it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to think about this one too, which makes me happy.
Mr. Bones is a bit of a sadistic dude. Like, he you know, sings and stuff like that while he's fighting. It's like, okay, that's weird.
Yeah.
But he's such a hilarious character, but so badass at the same time.
Nice. All right. Well, Carl, if people want to weigh in on this matchup or on any of their thoughts on our topic, where can they do that?
Well, they can do it on Facebook, facebook.com/wampaslayerpodcast, and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wampaslayer, or shoot us an email at wampaslayerpodcast@gmail.com. Jason, we're going to hit our 5-year anniversary in October. Mm-hmm. Also, after our 200th episode, I'd love to get us up to 600 likes on Facebook. We're at 572. So help us with that. If you're a listener and you have never liked us on Facebook, if you have a Facebook, like us. Maybe recommend us to a friend. We'll see what we can do with that.
Yes, that would be awesome. Jazz, do you have any contact information you want to give out, or you just want to... have people look for you.
If people want to talk Star Wars, find me on Facebook. Search Jazz Kopacek, KOPCK, and I'm at most cons. So hit me up if you see me.
Yeah, he's the nicest guy in the Star Wars universe. Everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
All right. Anything else, Carl?
Nah, I'm good.
Awesome. Well, thank you everybody for listening to this episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This has been episode number 195, A Changing Saga. For Carl and Jazz, I'm Jason, and we'll see you here next time in the Wampa's Lair.